Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. In your pew Bible, it's on page 218. If you're using the large print Bible, it's on 281. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even now for a little while that you've had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that was to be yours made careful search and inquiry, inquiring about the person or time that the Spirit of Christ within them indicated, when it testified in advance to the sufferings destined for Christ and the subsequent glory. It was revealed to them that you were serving not themselves, but you, that they were serving, in regard to the things that have now been announced to you through those who brought you good news by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. The Word of God. Thanks be to God.
This is the gospel. This is the word of God for the people of God. This is from the Gospel of Luke. If it is your tradition to stand, please do so, that we might hear the word. On the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words and returned from the tomb. They told all of this to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Simon Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I guess it's payback. For 17 years I served a church, and the parsonage was right across the street from the church. So I could get to the church, if in the middle of the night, if I forgot something over there, I could just trot out the front door and right across the way. But now here I am appointed a church, and that one in Jefferson Avenue, it's a bit of a haul to the over to Wheat Ridge and coming back. So you look at special services, you look at Holy Week, and I began to look at, and it was weather. Mother Nature was laughing at me, and maybe at all of us. But I was prepared. I was all prepared. I had everything ready. I had all the services. We were going to have a Maundy Thursday service at Jefferson Avenue. And then came the blizzard of 16. Is that what we're going to call it? What are we going to name this one? Has anybody heard a name that anybody's tied onto it? The big snow that blew and blew. And I was ready. I have a lawn tractor, and I have a plow that's been affixed to the front of it. So you can plow snow. I was set. I was ready. And all I had to do was wait for the snow to stop falling, and I was all set to go. Went out there, broke the plow off the front of the tractor. So I got to looking at it. And I don't know if any of you... It was kind of heavy, some of that. It's kind of deep. It was kind of miserable. By the time I went to bed that night, I was totally panicked. I couldn't get out of that. I couldn't even get to the sidewalk in the front of the house. The newspaper was out there somewhere. I did not read the newspaper that day. But I had all these plans, you see. I had the illusion that I had everything under control. That's the whole word, isn't it? That illusion that we have. How many of us have the illusion that we're in control? We play that game, do we? Next day I thought, all right, you know, I've still got my body and my knees in good shape now and then. Went out and I was shoveling snow and I went like this and the end of the shovel just kept going. You ever tried to shovel snow with a stick? You what? It is easier. It's lighter. It went faster. Yeah. Had a lot more control over where it went, but that illusion of control. Bombings in Paris. Illusions of control. Bombings in Belgium. The people there. There's a blizzard all over again, isn't it? It's a different blizzard. It's another thing that happens there. It's not snow in the same way, but it comes and it's difficult. And we are not in control. You know, that's where we really begin to panic. It feels like we're in control and that things are, and we're safe and that it's there and it's out there. And a piece of us can do that and push all of those things away. Or blame it on them. It's that one ethnic group that people are talking about. We'll just blame it on that bunch. And then there's a tragedy in Colorado Springs and a man shooting there. The problem is he didn't fit in that ethnic group. You know, he was a white Christian male. So maybe we ought to pick on all the white Christian males and have them registered and separated out. Guys, are we ready? Yavol, I heard that. We got to not do that. That's not Christian. That's not who we are. That's not whose we are. But you see, we need to hang on to that and realize that it's about trying to be grasp that illusion of being in control again and go back there. We can't. We aren't. It isn't going to happen. It just doesn't work. Blizzards come. I was ready. I had fireplace in the house. I had firewood set aside. We didn't lose power. Did anybody lose power? Oh, a few of you. Aurora does better than we used to do on the Northern Plains. But I had that illusion that I was set for everything, that I could handle everything that came, and it wasn't there. It just didn't happen. It was several days later that something happened. The sun came out. And suddenly I wasn't worried so much about shoveling snow, I was worried about making ditches for water. How many of you began to wonder if you should have built an ark instead of shoveling snow? The water and the snow began to melt, and it was melting furiously. There's something to be said for the sun coming out on Easter morning, isn't there? Not the sun, you know what I'm talking about, there's two suns involved here. That one that is in the sky that brings the warmth that gives life, and that one that's in the sky that lives and brings warmth and light, and both of those suns. And that's where we have hope. I would still be at home trying to shovel out if it hadn't been for the sun. I don't know about you. Some of the guys with the big four-wheel drives, you know, those ones that they have the ladder to get up to the cab, you know. They were out in the front yard stuck. They were just out in the street. They were just totally stuck. And they were yelling at each other. I don't know what they were yelling. I didn't go out to help. Could have, but I could have just yelled with them. They had the illusion they were in control. They had big old trucks. They could just plow around in that snow, and the snow just laughed at them. We are in the illusion that we can be in control too. That we can change this, that we can build walls, that we can begin to increase our homeland security, that we can... And it is an illusion of control. Now, I don't want to minimize the fact that there's fear. There is fear. There's tragedy. There's evil. And those have happened. People have been hurt. People are mourning lost loved ones. People are mourning losses of innocence. People that were there will be traumatized for life. And that's very real. But the sun still rises. The Son, Jesus Christ, is still among us. Jesus is our Savior and will continue to be with us. I told you about Tommy Keim, our friend, who's losing his battle with cancer. That's one of the blizzards that comes, isn't it? Your doctor says, well, let's run a couple tests, and then you get that call from them, and it's not a good call. That's one of the blizzards that happens in life, isn't it? The church over in Jefferson Avenue, one of the gals that helps do a lot of the work, she helps organize the food bank. All of a sudden, they notified him, we're just closing down your jobs. We're sending them overseas. You're out of work. The blizzard has come again. Finances seem like they're always a blizzard, don't they? I don't know about you, but everybody seems like they're financially struggling. I heard Bill Gates was worried about making money handling while he was building his house. And I thought, if Bill Gates has money problems, who doesn't? So there's that blizzard that comes again. And all those blizzards happen, and they attack our sense of being in control, but it turns back to, in whom do we trust? I began to write this sermon, and that phrase, in God we trust, when I say that phrase, what's your first thought that comes to mind? Money. It's on our bills, isn't it? It's on our coins and stuff. We need to get that back. I don't know what to do, but in whom do we trust? Do we trust in ourselves, in our government, in our military, do we trust in God? Tommy Keim, I would like to say we all trust in medical technology and the miracles of modern medicine. Tommy will pass from this world. But he is in God's arms. He is always okay there. He's not in control, but he is saved. He's loved. He is God's. It's all right to have that fear. It's all right to understand that life will happen and that we will be impacted. The blizzards will come. And some of those blizzards will knock us down, and sometimes our snow plows will break, our shovels will break, our legs will break, and we just can't do anything about it because we are not in control. But as people of faith, we know that God is in control. Melba read the letter, the epistle this morning. Here's what he said, and think about what they were doing back in that time. This is a time when they're being persecuted. The early disciples, theirs was a much more painful world and much more graphically so and a much harder in many, many ways. Even now for a while, rejoice while you have had to suffer various trials so that the genuineness of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Yeah, we will have trials. We got kicked out of the garden. I don't know if you got the memo. Adam and Eve it didn't go well. They had a special set of rules. It was an easy set of things. They decided we'd rather have free will. We'd rather see if we could do it our way. We'd rather we were in control. And here we are. This is not heaven. This is not the Garden of Eden. This is a world filled with many things. Joys and births and life and Easter mornings. And they overcome the blizzards. They overcome all that was. That hymn we sang, Christ the Lord is risen today. Charles Wesley wrote that. Any of you know Charles Wesley? You heard of him? John Wesley, his brother Charles. Charles wrote hymns. He had this gift from God. Some of you have gifts and graces. And I hope you've taken time over Lent. We try to focus on that and realize that each of us has gifts and graces. Peggy's fingers have gifts and graces, and her toes. I don't know how it connected that way, but she just is amazing. I couldn't do that any more than I could fly to the moon. Charles Wesley's gift was writing lyrics to hymns. They said if you took all the lyrics he wrote in his life, he had to write at least 3 a day. Every day of his life, his adult life. He was a hymn-writing fool, I'll tell you what. He was the very first hymn in our hymnal, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues I Sing," is Charles Wesley. But here he wrote the one we sang, "Lives again our glorious King. Where, O death, is now thy sting?" We sang it. Did we hear it? Did we realize what that's saying? We have been saved from that. The champion has won already. And we are there. We are God's beloved. We We may suffer trials. In fact, I would almost guarantee that we will hit those potholes in the road of life. And perhaps we can help each other through them. That's part of the fellowship of Christian churches, of community, of family. We help each other get through things. We comfort it. Sometimes we are comforted. And we continue through those trials. But we're never lost. By His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. That's where we're going. That's our hope. There's our life. So this is Easter morning. Celebrations of Easter and of Easter bunnies and egg hunts and kids and all of the glories. And I just love the ears on the little on your daughter. Oh, she's just so cute. That's life, and that smiles, and that love, and that care. That's God alive. But we face our fears. We face our fears. We face what we're about and whose we are. And we don't forget something, because God gave us a specific set of directions, kind of knew where we were going. And Jesus said, one thing I want you to remember, the most important single thing, is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And love your neighbor. Love one another. That's who we're supposed to be. That's who we are. That's whose we are. And that's the role that this world needs to hear. I'm kind of convinced we need to take an ad out in the TV and say, hey, everybody in the world is panicked and worried and all of the terror and fear. We know the answer. Christ comforts us. Christ is ours and we are His. Fear not. Fear not. So as Christians, we need to go into the world and celebrate that and share that message. We need to build bridges, not walls. We need to embrace one another. We need to break through those walls of fear and distrust, hatred, and offer Christ. Because you see, the blizzard is over. It is Easter morning. And Christ has risen. The sun shines brightly. Amen? Let's sing.